Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP BNB for episode 9 of Survivor 41. My name is Mike Bloom, and we are not splitting this thing up. We are doing one whole chonky BNB, talking about a heck of a double episode, a real murderer's row of boots as we just keep slaying the favorites here on Survivor 41. And here to break it all down is a fantastic panel. First, let me welcome in the co-host, the co-owner of the BNB, who every podcast she brings is heartier than a chicken and beef stew. Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
Okay. Was it chicken? I swear to God, I saw shrimp. Was there shrimp in the beef stew?
Wait, there was shrimp in the beef stew?
I don't know. I feel like that's what I saw. Maybe my eyes doth deceive me, but like, that's what I thought I saw. Regardless of the shrimp / beef stew that may have been occurring. Look, I'm having a ton of fun. I enjoyed this episode. It was so sad to see the two contestants leave. And it breaks my heart. But you know what? Season, the show must go on. And I can't wait to talk about everything today.
Well, your heart's breaking because your cholesterol has risen from eating so much beef and shrimp packed into a stew.
I know. Well, you think the shrimp would balance out the beef? Is that
in
thing?
What way? Is that like one
know.
If I land, two if I see? Where are we balancing out places on Earth?
That's why surf and turf exists, Mike, right? Because it's healthy for you.
Yeah, but like, what is the chicken and beef version of? And I might honestly be like Cartoon Network throwback. Call it cow and chicken. That's sort of the combo that we're going for in this stew. We're throwing a new ingredient into the stew this week on the BNB. Really happy to welcome a brand new guest, and I would say a newer fan to Survivor in general. But if you're a fan out there on those interwebs, you may have heard her before in many, many venues. Much like, you know, Shan has a lot of her hands in a lot of different alliances. She has a lot of her hands in a lot of different fields. She is a podcaster, a writer, an editor, a comedian, a musician. We are thrilled to welcome to the BNB, Allie Gertz. Allie, how are you?
Hi, I'm so good. As someone who doesn't eat meat, I am here for the stew talk. I can't wait to discuss which meat is or is not in there.
So if you were in this situation, is it just like, can you dilute some broth and give it to me and I'll sip on the broth this afternoon?
I have applied to do Survivor and I've had to think about whether or not that will be a huge problem for me. It would 100% be an, you know, on the off the cuff decision. I would have to decide, like, how badly do I need people to think that I'm cool and eat beef stew? You never know. Sometimes people are really judgy about vegetarians and vegans. So I'm not going to be an annoying vegan about it out there. If I ever
that was kind of the whole thing about last week was Xander also, Allie, that was apparently Xander, one of the reasons why he stepped down was, I guess, he was paleo. And so he wasn't going to eat the grilled cheese. So do you think, like, could you use that to your advantage, you know, like step down and be like, oh, such self-sacrifice that I'm making. I'm not going to touch the beef stew.
I'm going to definitely barter with Jeff to give me some impossible meat.
There you go.
So smart.
Like, Jeff, like, listen, I won't step down for the rice. You throw in a little tofu into that, I'm down.
Tempeh.
I won't participate in that challenge.
But it's for the team.
So you are a Survivor fan, turned Survivor applicant, turned Survivor podcast guest. But I think your origin story as to your access point to the show, suffice it to say, is probably a bit different from a lot of people who typically talk about the show. Just to start, even before we get into Survivor 41 proper, let's drop the four, let's drop the one even. Talk to me about, you know, how you ended up getting into the show and what was it about the show, or maybe who on the show just really hooked you in and said, like, okay, this is something that I need to possibly question my dietary choices to possibly get onto.
Oh, I'll abandon everything near and dear to my heart if it means being on the show. I was introduced through the podcast that Scott Chernoff co-hosts. Mm-hmm. And Scott is a friend of mine. We both kind of work in the entertainment space. And he asked me to start mid-season 40, having never watched the show in my life, and come on and talk about an episode. And so I forget which number it is, but it was well into the season. I don't know anything about like different islands. I don't know anything about Come On In. I don't know anything about like games. I know nothing about the show. And here I am watching some of the best players to ever play compete for $2 million. Suffice it to say, it was very confusing, but deeply entertaining. And even mid-season, in a very unusual season, I would say, it had a lot of the core elements of like just a great show in general, let alone a Survivor season. It was so deeply raw emotion, even when it's funny. And even when it's just some games being played, like it's so clear how badly these people wanted to be there. And it just really connected to me on a human level. I was just like, wow, these are real people fighting their asses off to maybe get some peanut butter. I don't know why they need peanut butter, but let's just go with it. Again, thrown in the middle with no context at all. I just really, really thought it was very special. I don't know. I used to hate reality TV. This was kind of a gateway into reality TV at large as well. I had previously got into the show Love Island, which was a kind of show that was fun to watch because you don't relate to players. And then this show came along for me. Obviously, it has been around for quite a while. And I just became addicted to it. And I watched not all 40 seasons. Scott made me a list of all the seasons that I should watch, depending on how many I was willing to watch. And at first he was like, here are like 10 seasons you should watch. I'm like, 10 seasons? That sounds like a lot. And then I quickly ended up watching like 35 seasons. There are only five that I've yet to see. And the only reasons I've yet to see them is because I just haven't had the physical ability to watch them yet. And they were, I was told like, okay, well, this one, Jeff almost wanted to quit or just like, it's everyone here is too hot. And so you won't maybe like this season as much. And so Scott's been a great guide. And, yeah, now I'm a fanatic, so much so that I am willing to try and be on the show, even though I don't know how to swim and I don't eat meat. So I'm an easy person to either be a goat or to vote out first, but either way.
Oh, that's so fascinating. So when you watch, because you started 40 in the middle, and then I assume, did you go back and start at the beginning? How was that?
Like the beginning of season one. So
Did you eventually catch up to the point that you started recording?
Exactly.
Okay, now I understand everything.
Everything that I watched, the kind of tailored experience that I was getting was it was to make season 40 as meaningful as possible. So I was I watched that mid-season episode of season 40, and then I immediately tried to erase my memories and not spoil myself. And I watched an episode and I was like, there's a guy named Boston Rob. Like, what the hell is this show? They keep calling him Boston. Is that a mistake? Like, what's going on here?
That's amazing. Oh my God.
Oh no, there's something on the cue. They put it on the cue cards and no one just forgot to erase it. And now everyone calls him that.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, I have managed to never know who won a single season. Like as it was coming out, I was familiar with Survivor when it came out, but I never heard about Richard Hatch. I never heard about like any of the winners. So fortunately when I started season one, like it was completely new for me and I just chronologically kind of plugged along, skipping a few seasons here and there. By the time that I was even getting to like heroes versus villains, like I was, it felt kind of like the Marvel universe for me of just kind of like, oh my God, all my favorites are coming back. And it was every single time that I got to a returnee season, it was truly like I would be shaking, having felt like I had dealt with the anticipation of years, even though it had literally only been like 3 days in between when I had first been introduced to them. But you know, it is when I will look back when I'm like on my deathbed about like, how did I spend the pandemic? And I'm like, I watched Survivor the entire time. I'll be like, I did the right thing.
Yeah.
That's good.
I spent it well.
I found out the origin behind Boston Rob's nickname. That's the one mystery of life that I can go to the other side having solved. I mean, it is, I think, a great testament to, you know, there has been some comments lobbied towards this season of like, you know, they're making things too confusing. And I think your experience shows that, like, you can drop someone in the middle of all of this Mishegoss without any sort of background as to what it is. And the game and the people themselves are enough anchors to keep someone inherently interested.
100%.
Yeah, and then that further cements the point of, like, we don't necessarily need all these frills, right? Like, you can decorate your car, but don't add too much, or, like, you're going to weigh it down substantially. The fact that you got drawn in a random episode in an all-returnee season that compelled you to watch 35 seasons of Survivor, I think, like, clip this message out, send it to Jeff Probst and Matt Van Wagon of, like, this is the appeal of your show. This is what it can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what's interesting about season 40 in particular, obviously, is that even though I don't know who the players are, I do know that they are returning players who have all won based on the name of the show. And just the idea that people that have, like, already starved themselves for this long are willing to do it again, even not knowing, like, what a special show it is, tells me, okay, there's something really powerful about what goes on Survivor. And as a massive, massive Lost fan, that especially meant a lot to me because it really reminded me of that show, and really, which is ironic because obviously Lost was inspired in part due to Survivor. But it really does have that feeling, especially when you go back and, like, watch Rupert kind of talking about, like, we have to go back almost. Like, it's almost, he's quote, like, it's crazy. It's just a beautiful, beautiful synergy happening between those two shows.
So when Erica smashed the hourglass, were you, like, waiting for people to start having their noses bleed all over the place and start to go into time travel sickness?
100%.
No, I mean, I love that concept just in general. I mean, you know, we think about Survivor has been on the air for 20 freaking years. That's a long time for something to just exist in general, and to still be relevant, and to still, like, think about how many scripted shows have existed. Like, what, The Simpsons maybe is the only one that I can think out off the top of my head, at least, that supersedes that. And for Survivor to still be out there and to be kicking, like, clearly there's something about the formula that is so captivating and is so successful. And I've had friends too that over the pandemic have come to find Survivor, have come to Survivor. I treat it like it's a religion, like, amen, Survivor,
I mean, listen,
let's go.
Shan would have a point to raise with that.
There we go. Yeah, that's true. But I, you know, I think that says something about the show and how powerful it is, really, just in general.
So that being said, let's talk about the latest iteration of this, because Allie, this is the first season besides that one episode of season 40 that you were watching live. Like Liana said, I think it mimics a lot of experiences of people that are just catching up, you know, over the past year and a half where there was no Survivor. So that being said, as someone who has experience sort of, for lack of a better term, the evolution of Survivor in a very accelerated pace over the past couple of years, what have been your thoughts about the newest stage of evolution? We're tracking the, you know, the evolving tadpole into, you know, Cro-Magnon over the course of 20 years. What's next? What is sort of your take on the next stage there?
The next stage is a mystery. I remember when I was, this is the first time I've gotten to not only watch the show as it airs, but, you know, enjoy, like, pre-interviews and, like, get to get excited about the players ahead of time. I'm, like, very fully invested in this show, and it's really special. I've never really had that, by the way. Like, I'm obsessed with The Simpsons. I have a Simpsons podcast. I've written songs about The Simpsons. I wrote a book about The Simpsons. So I have that, but I don't watch that show live. I stopped watching it probably after, like, season 10. So, like, I don't have this community that exists with Survivor. It feels almost like I'm finally understanding why people like sports. It's just like, wow, like, we all are, like, in this together. It's like this beautiful thing. But to answer your question about, like, what's next, God only knows. It depends on what Mike White says after this season. We really don't know. But how am I liking this season so far? It's incredible. I love it. When I was reading interviews beforehand, and it was, you know, stuff about the monster and then also stuff about, like, we're bringing it back to basics, I was thrilled. I applied after hearing we're bringing it back to basics, by the way, because I was like, well, basics I can do. If basics is we're doing a lot of camp life and we're doing a lot of the social strategy and moving away from some of the twists and turns of advantages and, you know, what makes it kind of feel like a board game, then I think I actually maybe could do well. There are a lot of twists and turns in this season, and I think that the cast is nailing it. I'm so impressed that after, first of all, like going through the hellhole we've gone through in like the last 2 years, the fact that they're even able to function is amazing. But how well they're able to adapt is it's really remarkable. They really have such a stellar ability here. I would still prefer to see less of the twists and turns, to be honest, because I love watching the decision making process of each vote, and I love a live tribal, but I prefer when I am aware of like what's being said.
Yeah, you prefer scripted tribal.
But yeah, it's a great season that I think that the feedback has been pretty clear that it's an awesome cast. We love the diversity. We love like all the, you know, insight of who the players are. But that we don't even really get to see who they are as much when there's so much going on. The fact that we only got to know Heather two episodes is pretty hysterical. But yeah, I love it. It's awesome. And I can't wait. I hope it never dies. I hope that it's like The Simpsons or, you know, any of these like Weezer, all the things I love, like keep going way too long. I worked in Mad Magazine and everyone's just like, Mad Magazine still exists. Yeah. Surprise.
Yeah. You built your living on those things of like that blank 100%. Is still on.
Yeah. And wait. So go ahead.
Well, no, Allie, I want to dive in 1 second. Heather, what do you think of Heather? I need to know. Like, okay. Yeah. Tell me
great
more.
TV.
Tell me more. Expand.
Well, here's what shocks me. Like, I feel like the reason not to include some people, which is morally reprehensible. Like they're on the island and they left their families and they deserve screen time, even if they're boring. But the reason to cut it is because they're boring. And if you have all of these advantages that you're needing to explain, that's going to take some time up. And it's important to do that so you understand the season. So I get it. They might not have had really good footage. For all we know, it's a situation where she's super shy and doesn't like the camera. And they have warned her like, hey, Heather, like, unless you talk to us, like, you're not going to be on this show. Okay, we didn't know, right? But then you see her and she's hectic and awesome. And she's like really like just a character, and it in a way it's kind of a cool reveal, and I kind of wouldn't change it now, but I think that she's delightfully bad at Survivor, which is what I love about her, and I hope that she hears that and laughs. I think I would similarly be bad at Survivor, where I am just kind of like, you know what, now is the time to start talking about the vote, like whatever crazy stuff is happening, just do it whenever you want, Heather. Like, don't follow Jeff's rules. Do you? I fucking love it.
Yeah. Heather is that freak weather event that shows up that you were not planning for whatsoever. Because I think we were all saying like, oh, yeah, she's just going to be the purple contestant, right, who ends up like getting voted out in some random vote. But she has come out of this cocoon into a freaky ass butterfly these past two episodes. And we wondered coming out of last episode, you know, how is she going to clean up this mess where she gets up, tries to forcefully change the vote, fails, and now has to go back. And the answer to that was somehow make it even messier. One of my favorite scenes is Nasir and Heather arguing of him being like, you voted for me. She's like, well, I didn't vote for you. You threw my name out. I mean, yeah, technically, but hey, Evie, what did I tell you? Oh, you told me to vote for Nasir. And then she's just like, yeah, you know, deer in headlights look. It's just, I don't know what Heather was expecting, if she was trying to get her like furtive signals for Evie to cover for her in that moment. But Heather, I'm so happy that she survived. It sucks to lose Nasir in the process, but like, if this just continues a narrative of Heather, almost like, you know, Allie, to use like a piece of Simpsons parlance, if like she becomes the Homer to everyone else's Frank Grimes, where like she wins a contest made for children, and everyone freaks out subsequently. That would be such an interesting storyline in Survivor that we very rarely see.
I would love that. Yeah. I mean, if the goat gets to win, like, that's awesome. Like, it would be so funny. And if no one even sees that, like, she was brought as a, like, if let's say it's Shan, because Shan is probably the most Frank Grimes, just in terms of she's doing things by the Survivor book. Like, she's playing like no one else has. She's excellent. She's showing up with pencils with her name on it. Like, she has her life figured out. She's worked harder than everybody else. Yes, we love Shan. But the show is not about Shan. It's about The Simpsons. It's about Heather. And like, when she ends up winning, even though it was a brilliant move by Shan to bring her to the end because she's so much better than Heather, it's going to be hysterical. Like, yes, I'm all there. I'm for it 100%. Heather's going to win.
Yeah, the Heather of it all. Like, I'm happy you bring up all these points because there's something also about the edit of Heather, like the music that she got during the tribal council where it was like, oh, such a foregone conclusion that Heather's going to leave, the swelling positive music that's like telling this narrative story about how she's so great or something. I don't know. It's so fascinating to me. But exactly to your point, it's like popped out as such a fascinating character because I just honestly don't even know what to make of her, from this like chaotic force to at the same time, like, I guess she's on the bottom, but she's not, but she is, you know. I think it's just, it's really, really fascinating to me.
And that's the thing, is that I think my general assessment of, especially the group that we have left, is I don't know what to make of anything, which is exciting. Like, everyone is so goddamn messy this season. In the first 10 minutes of the episode, we had what? We had that aforementioned scene with Heather and Nasir where she tries to convince him that she didn't throw his name out when she did. We have a scene of Shan and Deshaun, who are allies, essentially complaining about the other person to other people. And then we have this ridiculous scene of there being this main four alliance that's supposed to be secret saying, hey, group huddle up, and leaving two people in the dust. Like, I do not know. Starvation must be a hell of a drug, because these people are playing on such a ridiculous level that it really creates a lot of excitement in terms of, again, you don't necessarily need all these gadgets and gizmos to throw in, because these people, whether it's due to the circumstances like you're talking about, Ali, of just chomping at the bit, whether it's who they are as people, like, they're creating their own momentum. They've already got the ball rolling. You don't need to put in all the ball rolling machines. They've already got it happening. They're going to make big moves. Just due to the fact that for some reason they're just going to find reasons to step in it or to have someone else step in it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think this episode was especially good because we got to see so much chaos and so many Survivor don'ts. The idea of telling somebody that they're, like, Nasir learned to speak English by watching this show, and yet he didn't know a cardinal rule of not telling the person that you're voting out, that you're voting them out. I couldn't believe it. I was screaming at the TV. And again, what an honor to do that. I don't get to do that to The Simpsons or all the shows I watch. It's just a sports thing, I thought, and yet here we are, just enjoying Survivor in such a pure and real way.
Liana, what did you think about this? Now, this is one of the first times in this season, not a brand new twist. Of course, this is the split tribal council is something we've seen two seasons prior. What did you think about it this iteration? You know, I feel like the third time they use a twist is usually when we get to start to figure out some permutations of, like, okay, are we liking this? How did you like this version of the, like, you know, group up, go into your separate corners and do separate tribal councils?
So I will echo something that Rob said on Know It Alls, which is there was a little bit of sort of the wind knocked out of some of the potential mix-ups that could happen, you know, based on everybody's feelings after the last tribal council. You know, everybody's willing to turn on each other. There's a lot of frustration. So it felt like things kind of locked a little bit more in place. That being said, I like the fact that we got to know people's intentions maybe a little bit more in depth, because we had to kind of focus on just these five people, you know, for a set period of time. So I did appreciate that. But I don't know. I feel like in general, I want the whole group to be able to move forward so I can know sort of where everybody stands. But, you know, that being said, I still think we got two really interesting tribal councils, although I was sad to, you know, to see Nasir and Effie leave.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing as well, I've seen a couple of comments about this, is I enjoyed this episode as well. I actually liked going down to the two smaller tribes from this perspective, not only because we get to, you know, see these particular groupings to Liana's point, but also get to see everyone's individual perspectives, right? It's almost like a preview of the final five, if mm-hmm. this was a particular final five, which is another reason why, you know, we're surprised that no advantages once again get used in this episode, despite the fact that, like, there are five people left theoretically in this quote unquote tribe. You think you would want to use it. So I like it from that perspective, that it almost allows you to hyper focus in on gameplay with the trickier, smaller numbers. Whereas at this point, when there's 10 people, usually it's more of a matter of like, all right, stick with this big group and just sort of pick off the bottom feeders. And look, worst comes to worst, the same thing that happened in this episode would happen, you know, if it was just the final 10.
Mm-hmm. I will say one more thing, because I said this earlier in the season, the reason why they stayed with such small tribes, because of the power of the extra votes. And I feel like we saw that this episode with the fact that, you know, Shan was able to use her extra vote and have it actually make a difference, which I feel like so rarely happens with the extra votes, especially when you have 10 people, you know, one extra vote. I'm not Voce. I can't do the math here, you know, with the exact percentages.
Whoa, where did you come from?
Exactly. 9.999%. It makes a bigger impact when you're in a smaller group, which is exactly what happened here.
Yeah. So that being said, I did see a couple comments actually while this was all going on along the lines of like, can we not have one freaking normal vote? And the more that I thought about it, the more that I realized that the past few episodes, right, since we've had this sort of fakey merge two-part episode, was we had that thing going on. Last episode, the vote was, you know, straightforward, but we had this whole, oh, if you step out, we're going to give you rice thing at the challenge. And now we have this. And I'm beginning to wonder if Survivor production feels like they need a thing every episode from a production perspective. And you shouldn't be planning for that, right? Like, again, the people make the things. You don't need things to make the things. It's just something that I didn't even realize until I looked back and saw the forest for the trees of, yeah, ever since these groups all came together, every episode there has been some sort of like thing production has thrown in. What do you think, Allie? Is this too much of a rolling ball of twists and change-ups in the structure of Survivor?
Well, I'm thinking about like the choices that are being made here, and it was already such a, I think so much of this is coming from the fact that it's a shorter season and the producers, whomever is making decisions, is afraid that it's not going to be seen as hard because it's so much shorter than the typical run, right? Mm. And so I think because of that, there's almost a little bit of overcompensation with like, okay, well, we really have to make it hard by like switching things up on them even more than we would in a long season, or maybe as many times, but in this shorter amount of space. So it feels like it's constantly happening. I also think that like, hey, there's no theme this year. Like they've already dialed back quite a few things. And so I get why there might be a fear to just let the players be players and let them do what they want. But I hope that like the season is hitting well enough that it's a sign for the future seasons to kind of dial that down, because it really, in my opinion, does not need it at all. That said, I love seeing the ways in which the contestants are not using them. Like it's very interesting. I just think that you could get just as much excitement without it.
Yeah, I totally echo that. And it was funny because in the beginning of this podcast, when you said, oh yeah, it's going to be back to basics, I was like, oh yeah, it's totally not, I mean, you know, when twists are concerned, at least. And so I think that is definitely an element of frustration. Now, Jeff said, don't at him because he probably won't, or at him, I guess, because he probably won't read it anyway. So I'm hopeful that the fact that the cast is so strong, so good and so entertaining. And so I hope that does, you know, carry through. And obviously 42, the next season is already filmed, but perhaps in the future, you know, given the longevity of Survivor, I do hope that some of this information carries through and actually has an impact in future seasons.
Well, what if I were to tell you, if I smash this thing right off screen, we can back to the filming of season 42 and let them know how everything is received for season 41.
There we go.
Well, listen, we're talking heaps of praise about this cast, understandably so. Let's focus that in by talking about some of our fallen comrades here. So every week, Liana and I wrote down our predictions preseason as to how each contestant would do as they are voted out. We eulogize them in a way by talking about how incorrect we were, most likely, about how they would do. Now, of course, the first person we had to start with is the first person voted off, and that is Nasir. In general, though, Allie, give me your thoughts about Nasir, because I would say, honestly, from the discourse I've been seeing online, which, look, the internet is not necessarily a haven of morality, but if you were to ask me who has probably, like, the most universal approval rating amongst the Survivor 41 cast, it honestly might be Nasir at the top.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Nasir, from the pre-interviews, I was worried that he wouldn't even make it past episode one. I honestly thought Nasir would be a very easy boot. And he has proven himself so charming and so fun and good at the game. And I loved Nasir, and I didn't think he necessarily was going to win the show, but I thought he would make it really, really far. And he made it pretty far. But I was very sad. Both of the picks this episode are the two most liked people on the show. And so, and I love everybody on the cast, but my God, they are both so charming.
Okay. I'm happy to hear you say that, because that was my prediction also for Nasir at the beginning of the season. So I had him making the finale. So ooh. I thought he would make it quite deep. I said that, he's a mild mannered, friendly man, doesn't make any enemies, but doesn't make any moves either. He would misplay an advantage, but he would correctly play an idol. Oof.
Okay. You were oddly specific with that.
I know. It's like an advantage, yes, idol, no, which obviously didn't happen. He goes home with an idol in his pocket. But I also said he would shockingly lose the final fire making challenge despite all of his outdoor nature skills. I said that his ally was nature because he would go foraging, and his enemy was fire because he would fail to make the fire.
Well, now you're just like, I appreciate the creativity, but now we're going to pull Walt Whitman here.
You know, it's like airbending, firebending, earthbending. It's the whole Avatar universe.
I mean, Nasir very much has like Uncle Iroh energy, though, right? Mm. Uncle Iroh, I think is how you pronounce it, right? Of him just like being like, oh, I'm just going to sit around and drink my tea. Like, you can worry with trivialities. I'm just going to have a good time playing my games.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had slightly lower prospects for Nasir, but still relatively high hopes. I had him making the jury. I said that he would be the first to go idol hunting, which would draw the ire of Luvu, especially when he ends up finding one. Wow, I surprised myself upon reading that sentence. I said he embraces the danger the most, considering his upbringing. Think Russell Hance when he's talking about loving playing in the rain in Samoa, which I guess does make sense. Like, the smile never left the dude's face the entire time. He wastes his idol when the information comes out in the post-merge that he has one and he thinks he's in danger. Exact opposite happens, but despite his incredible story, nobody will view him as a jury threat because he'll be incredibly erratic, and he's the one to bring Heather into the fold and the majority of his tribe. Unfortunately, she returns the favor later on in the game by blindsiding him, feeling his antic to tribal council give him too big of a resume. His closest ally was Heather, and his biggest enemy was Genie.
That's funny because they never met, right? So
yeah, exactly. Like, they don't know each other from a hole in the ground. But
I mean, that doesn't mean that that's not true. We don't know what's going on. Genie might, for some reason, really have it out for Nasir.
Yeah, Nasir is like, I don't like the way you kicked that water bottle back in the day when you were really angry. So, Allie, taking a look at both of our paltry predictions, who do you think was more on the money when it came to what actually happened to poor Nasir?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, you guys both had some wins there. Can we not just agree to disagree? are we not friends? I don't know. I think Liana did was pretty accurate.
Although, Mike, if you'd like a quarter of a point, I think I can.
Yes,
can
you please? A little bit? Liana, can I have your point, Liana?
I'll, like, break my immunity idol in half and give you half.
Oh, yeah,
of
be
it.
Like Katie Heron at the end of Mean Girls, right? Like, smash
the tiara and pass it out. Yeah, right, exactly.
Beautiful.
All right, well, let's move on to our second boot here in the form of Evie. Now, before we get to the predictions, Allie, I'm going to go to you again. Give me your thoughts on Evie.
Evie's the best. Evie is so incredible. Evie, I will say, like, Nasir has become very, very, very beloved. But my memory, at least the people that I follow, everybody was rooting for Evie based on the cast photo. Like, I think a lot of people were really, really, really excited, and that there was just, like, such a cool vibe and energy that Evie was serving. And yeah, I've been a fan since day dot. That's my Love Island coming through. I think that Evie's, like, just a very likable cast members, which I think would help kind of get you far in the game. But I also thought that there were some good decisions, and I thought that they really were were affected by a lot of these advantages, and that had it been a little bit more of a straight shooter type of game, I think that we would have seen Evie get to the end, if not maybe even win the show.
It's interesting, Liana, because I talked to Evie obviously this week in my exit interview, and they vocalized as such, as Allie is saying, that the more you think about it, the more you realize that not only that sort of merge Uno reverse card twist, you know, how much the specifics of that specific group led to them being booted here. Because first of all, you know, obviously if Erica doesn't smash the hourglass, they would be safe. But also when they were unsafe with that particular group, right, like they were begrudgingly the one that had to be picked, because it was Deshaun, Danny, Sydney, all allies. Ricard is brought in via Shin, and Evie's the only option left. Otherwise, at least Evie told me, like, I probably would have been good through that first tribal council, because Deshaun wanted to work with me, and so he could have brought me in. It was just because Evie was the only person that was essentially vulnerable from an alliance perspective, they were targeted. Okay. And because they kept surviving, they were subsequently continued to be targeted. So it's really interesting thinking about the sliding doors of it all. Had that merge not been the way it was structured, if it was a regular merge episode, I think we see Evie go a lot farther than they did.
And it's crazy because, you know, Tiffany, I think, alluded to something very similar that was like, I think we actually would have done better if, and Tiffany was part of the group that was saved, that they actually could have succeeded as a group, you know, longer in to this game. And I think there's no denying that Evie was an absolutely outstanding player in the season, and such a bright light and so fun. And I think that this just goes to indicate how important luck is in the game of Survivor. It's something that we don't really talk about all that much. You can be an absolutely fantastic player, but if luck doesn't break your way, well, sorry, you know, that's the name of the game. Because I think, what was it? Like, we've seen examples of where a winner has been almost voted out at like final eight or something like that. And just because luck breaks their way that one tribal, they're able to make it all the way to the end. So I don't think that, you know, being voted out necessarily diminishes how strong a player can be. It just really comes up to circumstances and twists and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Really quickly, I just want to say, because, like, first of all, keep in mind, like, aside from Scott, like, I don't really have a ton of people that I talk about Survivor with. So let me fan out a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, please. We are spreading all the fans right now. Just pop them all.
Yes. So, well, one of the things that I'm thinking of right now, Liana, is how Russell Hantz said that luck was not a factor in his game. And if he had just been willing to say luck was a huge part of it, the fact that, you know, so many factors are luck, and it makes you look so not humble and not aware of the reality that, mm-hmm. like, this game is deeply unfair. And that's one of the things that Deshaun seems to understand is, you know, when Erica, like, smashed the tourney thing, what's it called?
Hourglass.
Exactly.
I prefer tourney
thing. The tourney thing. When she turned the tourney thing.
It's more the smashy thing.
It's the smashy thing. When she turned the smashy thing. basically, like, I sometimes can find myself getting really mad on behalf of players when I think that there are some things like that going on, which are just like, oh, come on, but they won the challenge. And, like, whatever it is. Like, I sometimes get frustrated by the decisions. I really admire when players are able to kind of just, like, swallow it and go, like, Survivor's not fair. Who told you Survivor was fair? So mm-hmm. I appreciate when players are able to move on from that and not be bitter, because I think that would ultimately be my downfall if I were ever lucky enough to play.
And that's the thing about Evie as well, is that in general, Evie, and maybe this maybe might just seem Evie. I mean, listen, let me also say, especially after watching the Ponderosa videos for this week, this cast is just like so damn chill. Like, I want to hang with this cast so much. They seem just like such a fun group. And Evie especially is someone who, like you said, Liana, could have a big axe to grind of like, were it not for that stupid hourglass, I'd still be very much like a Rupert, so much rotten death stuff. We have to go back and change it. But I think that Evie just has this really lax, easy attitude, even towards something like Xander, right? Of like, it's been talked about how Xander could have played the idol on Evie. Also, we find out, could have used the extra vote to essentially, you know, force Danny and Deshaun to either turn on Liana or essentially draw rocks between the two of them. But Evie's like, nah, you know what? But that's Xander. He wants to be, you know, the super free agent because that makes him more appealing than being tied with me. I understand. And that's, I think, part of the charm that made Evie one of the biggest social threats out there for the entirety of the season. It's one of those things where you talk with someone and you're like, yeah, I just want to hang out with you. Mm-hmm. And then if we happen to write the same name on a parchment together, then that's just icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking at my prediction now, and I'm seeing that 100% come through. Because even though, so I did say that Evie would make the jury, but I said that they would be blindsided by their own alliance after being identified as a threat due to their stellar social and strategic gameplay. So I really felt like Evie would stand out. I also had some odd other predictions. I said that they would get a new advantage called the oyster advantage, which is pretty lame and doesn't really change the game. It's a shell that they have to find, and then someone else finds the pearl, and then they combine them, and then they eliminate one. I know, right? And apparently they get to eliminate one person's vote at tribal, which is like legitimately the worst thing you could ever get. But fine,
wait,
whatever.
All that pomp and circumstance just to be like, hey, you don't vote.
It's not even an idol. And then I said the last thing, which I'm happy about, they would be caught talking about how annoying Voce is. So obviously he's got to go. I said ally would be Ricard. And then enemy would be Voce / Ricard, because Ricard would be the one to blindside them. So,
oh, interesting.
That's where I'm at. Yeah.
So this pains me. I had Evie finishing in the pre-jury, but a high finish in the pre-jury. Basically, I basically put Evie in like the Lyrsa spot of,
yeah,
ordinarily you would make the merge, but your tribe kept losing, and so you end up getting voted out. Spoiler alert, I did not think Yasa was going to do well in the pre-merge. And look, there was a good few episodes when we thought that was the case, right? That was one of the reasons why Evie outed all of Xander's idol information, because they said, like, look, I don't think we're ever going to win a challenge ever. You know, I might as well like start to look ahead to other prospects because we'll be down. So I said that Evie would lighten the mood from day one with goofy camp antics, which will earn the ire of Voce for being too threatening.
Yeah,
I said that Evie would be the designated puzzle maker for Yasa. It doesn't go well. That's blatantly false. I said that Evie would be one of the stars of the pre-merge, getting the edit of the underdog on the underdog tribe. And that Evie asked something from Jeff on the way out, whether that's a hug, a high five, etc. He does pinch them at one point, so maybe that just comes a bit earlier than expected.
Oh, man.
And I said closest ally was Liana and enemy was Voce.
Well, this Liana, I'll take that. and Dr. Evie also, which I want to congratulate on getting their diploma, which I don't know if that was planned or like how that worked out. Cause I know for me, like when I got my degree, I like you defend and then on a different, you get like the document signed and all of that. And then like a different day, you actually get the degree. So, cause that would be the most badass thing ever to plan, like getting your PhD diploma on the same day you get voted out of Survivor. Like that's just amazing.
Oh, that's interesting. Wait, should we have read the tea leaves? Was that potentially a spoiler that Evie informs us like, oh, I got my degree? It's like, oh, this might not be good for Evie tonight.
I knew it. Yeah, if all other PhD candidates, beware. Like, we will be paying attention to the spoilers.
Exactly. That's our beware advantage.
There we go.
All right, Allie, I think I know what the answer is. This seems like the more straightforward vote. But just in case, I'm going to go to you again. Who do you think had their finger on the pulse better for Evie, pinching it?
I'm going with Liana.
Yeah. Considering that I said that Evie would be a terrible puzzle maker, and according to Evie, they have retired that ball puzzle now after Evie crushed it in 5 seconds.
Not the beans.
I know. It's a, you know how Jeff's like, future Survivor players, take note. Except for this puzzle, we're not doing this one anymore. So find another one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, let's find an opportunity to talk more about this Sterling cast as we get into our first game here. Now, look, this episode was all about mixing people up, trying out different combos. So we have arranged a game of anagrams for the two of you. Also very appropriate because in The Simpsons, there is a father-daughter duo that loves to make anagrams out of celebrities' names. So in fact, Allie, you are putting yourself in the Allison spot here and doing some anagrams with the Survivor contestants' names.
All right.
So basically how it's going to work is, and I'll give you some time, you should bring up the list of the castaways because it is first and last name. I am not that cruel. I'm not Jeff Probst. Make it back to basics. No last name lookups. But basically, I'm going to give you an anagram of a name of a contestant on this season. If you think you know it, buzz in and you'll get a chance to answer. If you're right, you get a point. So like, for example, if you give an anagram of Allie Gertz, you get legalized rot.
Now that I agree with.
Or perhaps gazelle riot, which you probably agree with more.
I like that one.
they both, in a way, say the same thing about me. So I think that's great.
Very representative.
Yeah, if you, I would not imagine you want a stage name after you have built up a career for yourself as a musician with your name. But if you need to, Gazelle Riot is right there. And I believe the IP is available.
Well, let me tell you, my band name used to be Cosby Sweater, so I could have taken that advice a long time ago.
Oh, legalized rod, indeed.
Okay, I'm having a hard time even finding a list of the, if you guys could send me a list that is just a clean list, I would really appreciate that.
Yes, let me.
In fact, would it be okay if I took a quick break to get some water?
Yeah, go ahead.
But you have to keep this in the podcast because it's very entertaining.
Okay.
Obviously,
yes, me asking for a drink.
Yes.
All right. I'll be right back.
All right. So again, I'm going to read the anagram name. I'll give you obviously spend as much time as you need to figure it out. But once you think you do, buzz in. You can each have a unique buzzing noise. Liana, what is your buzzing noise?
Ooh, I'm going to say this is Nasir.
This is Nasir. Okay. Allie, what is your buzzing noise?
I'm going to keep it classy and go. Bzz.
Okay. Perfect. So we have a declarative statement versus the sound of a gnat. Just two sides of the same coin. All right, here we go. So let's start with hand axe strings.
Sorry.
Hand axe strings.
This is Nasir.
Yes, Liana.
Xander Hastings.
Yes, Xander Hastings is correct. Yes.
Okay, I was like, X. That's crazy.
Exactly. The X sticks out. All right, here's your next one. And listen, speaking of Gazelle Riot, we have another stage name here for a possible contestant. Coming to the stage, MC Candy Yarn.
Let's see.
What?
MC Candy Yarn is here. Yes, Allie.
Is it Danny McRae?
It is Danny McRae.
All right. It's because it painted a picture of Danny in my head when you said that. I'm like, well, it's got to be Danny.
Yeah. Could you imagine him just like, I don't know, on the ones and the twos? Is that what?
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah, on the ones and twos. Yeah, exactly.
Just like with some candy yarn, just like twirling it around. I guess candy yarn would be Twizzlers, I suppose, candy yarn.
Mike, how long does it take you to come up with these? This is a very impressive skill that you have.
Well, I should mention, so this was prepared ahead of time. Don't worry, this is not done on the spot. But I also need to thank Jonathan Troyer, who did a lot of these and wrote in with an email titled, "Why did I spend so much time on this?"
Okay.
In all caps. So,
okay, good. Well, props where props are due.
Yeah, I think the existential dread is felt by us all. Very 2021. All right, here's your next one. Leather thread. Leather thread, perhaps doing a set. Yes, Allie.
Gotta be Heather.
Heather Aldred is leather thread.
Oh my god, not leather thread. That's so funny.
That sounds like her superhero alter ego.
think that's a villain.
Oh,
yes. Oh, 100% a villain. Yes.
Imagine her like in a dominatrix outfit.
Okay, Mike.
I don't know. I'm thinking leather. Okay, I'm thinking leather. I'm sorry. I went to that area.
Daddy loves leather. Yeah, you're exactly. Saying leather, daddy?
All right. Here we go. Next one. Bread seer.
This is Nasir.
Yes.
Is it Brad Reese?
It's Brad Reese, the bread seer.
Classic. I hear they do that on the farm or ranch, whatever he has.
That'd be the great superhero to counter leather thread, the bread seer.
The bread seer.
It but sounds like it a signed reading. It sounds like something I would have hated to read in like fourth grade.
Oh, the bread,
giver.
Yeah, like a
yeah, like, oh, thing where it's so like boring.
All of the grain has burned down. You're the only one who can grow. You are the bread seer.
All right. Who has cliff notes?
Yeah, big giver energy. I love that.
All right. Here's another one. Aria Chamber. You want to go operatic, sing an aria, but it's in a private location. You go to your aria chamber.
This is Nasir?
Yes, a questionable Liana.
Eric
Abraham is correct.
Okay. All right. Not the well aria done. Chamber I was expected, but all right.
All right. Well, we know it has been a bit of an election year, so let's continue on the theme with this next one. 50 lean yes.
What?
50. 50 lean yes.
50 lean yes?
50, like the number 50, but spelled out phonetically, lean yes.
L-E-A-N, lean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to Laura Ingraham me, Liana, okay?
Fifty lean.
Unless yes. Someone has like a secret yes. Middle name that I don't know about. I'm gonna Yeah, no clue.
Alright, I'm gonna give you five seconds left. Figure out who is 50 lean yes.
50 lean yes.
Alright, I'm gonna stop it there.
Wait.
Alright, Leon, I'll give it to you under the wire.
Is it Tiffany?
It's Tiffany.
Ah, I was looking for a Y. I was like, who has a Y in their name? Okay, yes. All right. Makes sense. That feels like so many letters.
It really
Can you really
does.
Get 50 lean yes from Tiffany Seeley? Her name is so short. That's so many letters.
I also love it because she's 47, so she is leading into 50.
Beautiful.
Yes.
A movement.
Yeah.
We're all lean.
Yes.
All right. Next hashtag one for lean. You. Well, actually, let's go to another yes statement here. Gals deny yes.
Golden gals deny yes. That's like all I can think of like an episode title. What is it? Gals deny yes?
Gals deny yes. Yes, Allie.
Wait, gals deny what? Let me just make sure.
Gals yes. deny yes.
Gals
never mind.
Okay. Rescinded.
Rescinded. Gals?
Gals deny yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to go back to...
All right.
Yeah. Is it Evie?
It is not Evie.
Oh, that was going to be my guess. Because, I'm all about the why, baby. Why right, why do Leon, we do I'm things?
Gonna,
why?
I'm going to give you five more seconds.
No.
Three. Two. One smash.
Wait, I know what it is.
It
now.
Was Sydney Siegel. Yes, it was gals deny yes.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't get that.
All right, let's go into another one here. Maybe a little bit of a redemption here for either one of you. Caved void. Caved? Yes, Allie.
It's Voce.
Yes, it's David Voce.
Yes. That's so fitting. I don't know why, but it just is.
Oh my god, you're calling him a caved void?
I don't know, it just makes sense.
He does work in neurosurgery, and I guess our mind is a caved void in a manner of speaking.
That's sure. Yeah, let's go with that.
All right, how about Diary Force. Diary Force. Allie.
Ricard.
Yes, Ricard Foyer translates to Diary Force.
Yeah, that's good. I was going to go to Sean.
I feel like that's a good one. Diary Force. Mm-hmm.
Diary Force sounds like a young adult like team up series, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we or like maybe like one of those PBS shows of like, we're going to teach you how to read. Go Diary Force.
Yeah, like the A-Team, but for kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like teaching you about why you should keep a diary, I suppose, is the lessons they're imparting onto the youth.
I think it's like a pro reading show.
Oh, yeah, like, definitely.
What does this word spell?
All right, let's move on to the next one. How about Raw Sales On? Raw Sales On. Allie.
Sarah Wilson.
That is correct. Those raw sales are going on, much like Sarah Wilson did in that first episode. All right, I've got a few more left here. Agave Do Jive.
What?
Agave Do Jive. I know it's been disputed, but Agave Do Jive. Perhaps dancing to the tunes of MC Candy Yarn.
Get lit in the club.
With my leather thread.
Yeah, with leather thread. Wait, what? Agave what?
Agave Do Jive.
Okay.
Yes.
Is this one Evie?
This one is Evie.
All right.
Where's the why?
What why?
Oh, it's just Evie. Okay, all right, sorry. No, that's my bad. The list that I'm looking at has Evie as Evelyn, so I was putting the Y in there. No, that makes sense.
No, I do not use legal names.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm going with survivor nicknames only.
I mean, it's Dr. Evie, so that I should know.
Exactly. I should have put Doctor in there. No. All right, just a few left here. Let's go a little naughty here. It's time to get out the leather thread. Start off with a big one. Anal whale lace.
No! No! Because this is the sincere.
Yes, Allie.
Wait.
No!
I'm gonna give it to Liana because she seems to be in crisis right now.
Because it's Liana!
It is Liana.
No, not my namesake.
Not my namesake, anal whale lace.
It's okay, girl. We can all be anal whale-ace together.
Oh, I'm so glad there's camaraderie there.
You know, the Lianas stick together.
All right. Let's go a little less scatological for this next one. A cesarean punk.
Wow.
A cesarean punk.
This is Nasir?
Yes, Liana.
Is it Erica?
It is Erica. Yes, that is correct. And I do have a couple of alternative ones that I found very fun. Erica Kasupinen, also anagrams to a nausea car pink, or if we're going back around the corner, a parka anus nights.
Oh, okay. That's lovely.
Is that not what Angelina asked Natalie for after she got voted out?
Can I have your anus parka?
Maybe if you couch it like that, there'd be a chance of getting it. All right. Different. Let's break it down here. We are tied 6-6. Ooh. There is one question left. Oof. Whoever gets this, all the marbles. Here we go. The final anagram name, Hardened Wands.
What was it?
Hardened Wands.
What?
Hardened?
Oh, hardened.
Yeah, I'm going to stay silent so you have to keep repeating. Hardened wands.
Wands. All right, Allie. Oh,
is it Deshaun?
It is Deshaun Radin.
All right.
Yes, Deshaun Radin's name does indeed anagram to Hardened Wands, also Handed Raw Ends, which to your point, Allie, he does a good job being able to reconcile that. And also, Dread Hand News is Deshaun Radin. Which actually, I believe Nasir probably received some Dread Hand News in this episode, right? When he, like, couldn't feel his hand for the rest of the day.
Okay, yeah, that was not going to be my initial interpretation. I thought it was going to be, like, if you, like, sign something to someone, and it's, like, an unfortunate, you know,
Oh, like you hand the news.
Dreaded hand. Oh, or yeah, or physically hand someone the news. Yes. Yeah, it could be that as well.
Wait, so if you write someone news, you refer to that as hand news?
No, I mean like hand, like sign language, hand someone. Like if you sign to someone bad news, that's like bad hand. What was it? Bad hand? Hand
dreaded
bad?
Dreaded hand news.
Yeah, dreaded hand news. You sign someone something.
I still don't think if you sign something to someone, it's called hand news.
Yeah, no, I don't know enough.
Like, if I tell you something, I'm not giving you mouth news.
Hey, brand new idea. Let's go to Shark Tank. We've got a brand new platform. It's called Mouth News.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think we missed the boat now of Facebook trying to give it, you know, screw Meta. Call yourself Mouth News.
It's called Mouth News. Wow, brand new exciting platform. You can share all the thoughts you've ever had on Mouth News.
All right, so Allie, congratulations. You squeaked out a narrow victory.
Hey,
victory
thanks so much.
Liana, here's a ball. Perhaps you'd like to play with it. That's your consolation prize.
All right. I guess I'll take it. It's no beef stew, but you know what? I think I can still be happy.
But Sandra can describe the ball, I think, in a way that makes it sound like beef stew.
I mean, yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. Yeah, yeah, Xander is also super fascinating to me as a character in general. I'm so interested to see where he goes after this.
Yeah, Allie, just briefly for a second. Yeah, what do you think about Xander? Because Xander, sort of like in a twin trail of Heather, but very different, has sort of like come into a very different role, I feel like, in the post-merge than the pre-merge, especially now that he is one of the last Yasa person standing. Like, what is your thought about him so far?
I love Xander. I definitely didn't think I would based on pre-interview stuff and my prejudices against, like, you know, the popular surfery type of character that we see, or the stereotype, I guess. I never root for, like, the Malcolms or, you know, the Joes. Like, that's not who I identify with. And so I usually kind of am ready to kind of be bored by them. Not Malcolm. Malcolm's very interesting, but like, I just don't really root for that type of player. And so I was totally wrong. He's so much smarter than I thought. He's so much better at reading people. He has, just a good sense of others. Like when he recognized the aspect of like, hey, when you lose, like you're more vulnerable and raw, and therefore I want to be around the losers. Like that was great, great strategizing. That's very, very clever. And so, I definitely am rooting for him way more than I would have ever guessed. I think he's awesome.
And I think the fact also that like, I keep forgetting he's 20, you know,
it's crazy.
And, yeah. And it's just, it's very interesting. I think for sure, regardless of the outcome of the season, he's coming back for returning player season. So
I definitely hope so.
I think we're going to see him again. I'm so curious to know like how much of it, especially with some of the stuff that's come out in the postseason press, I guess the exit interviews, like how he's perceived the players versus how he's perceived by us and all of that together. I think that's going to be very interesting to unpack as the season unfolds and especially comes to an end. But for now, like, yeah, super fascinating. I'm like really interested to see where he goes in the rest of the season.
Me
especially
too.
Because he's also like put painted himself into a corner as well. Right. Like, I understand the impulse to want to like keep your advantages to yourself to guarantee yourself another day in the game. But like now he doesn't have Evie. Now he doesn't have Tiffany. Now, look, we are on the edge of perhaps a schism within this majority alliance where Xander can maybe slip in. But I do find it interesting that like he really does seem to be on his own. Everyone left in the game has a partner except for Xander. I suppose his partner is his pants because that's where all his advantages are hidden. And so now it's Xander basically has to figure out like, okay, now what do I do? And that's something I like seeing in Survivor players is like trying to wriggle their way out of tight corners. We know that we're impressed by gameplay of people like Boston Rob and Kim Spradlin, but from an entertainment perspective, give me much more people being able to try to worm their way out of constantly being under fire.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Here's my pitch. I know they already filmed the next season. I want the entire cast to return back to back. I want it to be an entirely, let's do it again. You only have 2 weeks in between. Let's go.
How have I literally never thought of that before? That's like such a fascinating idea. Could you imagine? I wonder what would happen if they made the same like team play back to back. Because we talk about this. So in terms of like the TV show, The Challenge, how it's a little bit like soap opera-y, the same people keep coming back and all of that. Like, what if you took the exact same group, you just threw them right back out there,
yep,
and you had them play Survivor? That's like such a fascinating concept, Allie. I can't believe I never thought of that before. I love that.
I think it would especially be funny and cool given the circumstances of it's a shorter season. So yeah, it would be such a good prank on all of us who are just yeah, like,
oh, you know, no, it's a 26 season. It's actually a 50 season.
Yeah, I think that'd be incredible because, I think all of these players, like, I mean, some of my favorite winners, you know, they didn't win on their first or second time. And so, like, the fact that everybody's playing so hard on their first go, it makes me wonder, like, God, what lessons did they learn as soon as they made their mistake or as soon as this advantage happened? And yeah, I can't wait to see all of them at some point come back. They probably won't all get that opportunity, but I sure would love it.
Now, the question is, when you have them rerun the season, is it in the exact same starting tribes or do you mix it up? Which has the better drama therein?
I think, of course, it would be very fun and cool if you were able to replicate it as much as, you know, you can allow. But that falls apart as soon as players act differently, of course. And so it would be impossible. I think that part of what makes it fun is that it really shows you how much luck does determine mm-hmm. your fate on the game. And so if you end up on a different team, how good are you? You know, like, mm-hmm. let's see. I'm begging that Jeff does that.
maybe one day. Oh, man. Okay. Well, look, we can live in fantasy world or we can continue to live in fantasy world, which is, I think, what we should do right now. I don't know what segue that was, but
yeah, I'll give you a choice, but I won't really. Actually, that is very Jeff Probst, right? You have a choice, but you don't really have a choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like we're about to do Harry Potter trivia. What's going on here?
Okay, no, a little less, you know, the boy who lived, and a little bit more the contestants who got an opportunity to finally play Survivor. No, I don't know how that works. We are going to play a game called Shambo, which is equivalent to MASH. So I don't know if you're familiar with the game MASH, but MASH was played when I was a kid, at least. It's called Mansion, Apartment, mm-hmm. Shack, House. And essentially it was a game where you predicted what was going to happen in your life in the future. And so we have converted this into a game or an activity for us where we predict what would happen if we played this season of Survivor. So I have called this version the Shambo Twists Edition. Because I feel like it's very heavy in twists. The season has been very heavy with, you know, the extra votes and the random phrases and all of those types of things. So I think it'd be fun to try to play out what would happen if Mike and Allie, you two, were to play this season. So let's start with Mike here. And what we're going to do, I'm going to give you four categories. You're going to give me four, versions, I don't know, but things within that category. And then we're going to play the game MASH. So, Mike, the first thing we're going to start with is give me four contestants.
In this season. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll take JD.
Okay.
I will take the woman of the hour. Give me Heather.
Okay.
I'll take Nasir.
Okay.
And I will take, can I count Nathan, the Fijian local who helped teach them how to fish?
Love the creativity, but in this context, no, it does not.
Ah, okay.
Sorry.
Then I will take Shan.
Okay. I need four household items.
Okay. A pocket watch.
That's, okay.
That is not a
household classic household item.
Yes, all the rage and every house in 1832, the pocket watch. All right.
Well, blimey, what time is it?
I love how you did a southern accent with like a British term.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, it's tea time. All right. So I suppose pocket watch. Yes. I will go with.
Yes.
That's a household object.
Pocket watch. Continue.
Oh, egg beater.
Oh, egg beater. Okay, yes, okay.
Ceiling fan? Is that a household object? I guess so.
Sure.
Okay. Furniture as a, I guess if that's furniture or
in,
or
yeah, just I don't know, something in your household.
And an octopus lamp. Remember those lamps
classic.
Like in college, like the ones that had all the movable arms that, that your RA said you couldn't keep too close together because they'd burn and light on fire?
Absolutely not.
No?
like a lava lamp?
No, an octopus lamp. There, it's. I guess that I don't know if that's the term for it, but it's a lamp that had like a bunch of different arms on it that you can maneuver. All right, I'm trying to look this up. I don't know if it's called an octopus lamp.
Listen, I just looked it up, and I'm seeing actual like ceramic octopus. Like,
or maybe it's not
octopi.
A literal octopus lamp. Yeah, you know what? Actually, I'm going with that one. I'm going with an octopus lamp. I'm going with a literal lamp with an octopus
okay.
on it. Next year, my pocket watch in this submarine that I apparently live in with Jules Verne.
Whatever you want it to be, Mike. That's the fantasy. All right, give me four numbers.
Let's go. 2.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go 9.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go 41.
Classic.
Let's go 69.
69. Okay. And give me 4 ways to cook potatoes.
Ooh. Boil them. Mash them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm in a stew.
Stick them in a stew.
Preferably chicken or beef stew. Oh. And peel them.
Sure.
That's a step of cooking them.
Yeah, that's I'm sure that counts. That makes no sense, but that's fine. All right. And then we're going to do a little bit of Mad Lib style here. Give me an adjective.
Oh, prickly.
Okay. Give me a noun.
Window.
Okay. And give me another noun.
Let's go stocking.
Okay. All right, so the way this very precise science works is I'm going to draw a spiral. You're going to tell me when to stop. I'm going to count. We're going to go from there. So I'm going to start the spiral 1, 2, 3, and then you tell me when to stop. So okay. 1, 2, 3, I'm going.
Stop.
All right. 4. All right. We got it. Let me do my magic, and we're going to predict how you would fare in the season of Survivor.
So while we're doing that, while Liana's making podcast magic happen, Allie, I would love to hear from you because there was some initial confusion around the use of the extra vote in that tribal council that sends Nasir home. What did you make of that? Was that something that sprung up as a little confounding to you, or did you understand their sort of methodology, even if it wasn't shown on screen?
I'm not convinced that I followed exactly what happened. It seems like, tell me if I'm wrong, please. It seemed like, yeah, I don't even know. I did watch it twice. I watched the episode twice, and I feel like if I know exactly who voted for who, I could try and speculate as to the gameplay. But was it Shan using her extra vote?
Yeah.
And it's I guess she was just splitting it to be safe.
Yeah, so that's okay. Exactly what it was. So I outlined this a little bit on Twitter, but just to like elaborate on it a bit. So the plan, right, they were hoping it was going to be five votes. So it'd be 4 votes Nasir, 1 vote for Heather from Nasir. Nasir is blindsided with an idol in his pocket, but Shannon and Ricard assumingly were a little worried of, okay, theoretically, if the two of us throw our votes onto Nasir and Nasir plays his idol, that nullifies those votes. And if Heather and Erica decide to vote for one of us, their votes carry through, right? There, if they vote for Shan, for example, then it would be 2 votes Nasir, 2 votes Shan, 1 vote Heather. And then Nasir's 2 votes would get nullified. Those 2 votes for Shan would be the ones to prevail. And essentially, one of the UA people gets voted out. And so essentially what they proposed is that they put 3 votes onto Heather. So 2 out of Ricard and Shan and Shan's extra vote, plus Nasir voting for Heather. That way, if Nasir plays his idol, then 3 votes still go on to Heather. It would overpower the other 2, even if they do make a move. And no matter what, one of them doesn't go home. So really all it was using an extra vote to prevent an idle play sending one of the two of them home. I think maybe they kind of either over or underestimated Heather and Erica, either overestimated maybe their cutthroatness and underestimated how much they wanted to get rid of Nasir, that they thought they would want to do this. But I'm not mad at it. It was using an extra vote defensively instead of offensively. As Liana says, it's a twist that never usually works. So I admire the gameplay in it.
Yeah, no, hearing it kind of explained. I mean, that, as you can tell, that was kind of what I thought happened, but I was not certain at all. So it's nice to kind of hear the breakdown and understand the defensiveness, the protectiveness.
You're muted.
Oh, Liana, you're muted.
Oh, no. Okay. I wanted to, you know, not get the scratching in the way. I think ultimately I totally get the defensiveness of it all. I think it was then the, okay, now who do we put our votes on, when it was a vote split of 3-3. But I think that's where I'm kind of like, oh, okay. So you went with Nasir. Like, did you think Nasir would be upset? Did you want to like flush the idol? Like what was the deal? Cause I felt like from Shan's perspective, it made more sense to get Heather out there, but yeah, I don't know.
I feel like. I feel like Shan needs to do a little bit of damage control in terms of letting her alliance make some decisions. And I think that going in the way that Ricard wanted to go bodes well for her, because she has been stepping on some toes a little bit, and she's doing a good, I think she's doing a good job of like correcting that. And even though she clearly wants to get out Erica and Heather by default, like, I mm-hmm. think that that's a very good political move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To like save face with the other people, you know, in your alliance to move forward. Yeah, no, I totally get that. Okay, Mike, are you ready to find out how you would fare if you played this season of Survivor?
Oh, boy. Yes, bring it
Drop
on.
Drop the four, keep the one. Okay, so you, if you played Survivor, would be obsessed with getting out Nasir.
Oh, no.
Liana is obsessed with getting out Xander. Obsessed by getting out Nasir.
I can't even say I hate his stupid face, though, because I love his face. I love everything out Nasir.
Nope. Gotta vote him out.
No.
Too much of a threat. All right. You would get the opportunity to smash secret advantage, which is the octopus lamp.
No, so much money on that.
I'm sorry that you would have to smash it. I don't know what your advantage is. But
oh, could it be like eight idols or eight extra votes?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know. Something with eight, obviously. All right. You would also split into tribes of 41 people to compete for immunity. I have no idea how that works.
A Survivor season of 123 people to start, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Or like 82 people. I don't know exactly how that works. And then you would bond with Tiffany over her love of mashed potatoes, which I have on good authority. Tiffany, there's some credence to her obsession with potatoes. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So definitely a thing. And then your secret phrase to activate your idol would be, I'm as prickly as a stocking on a window.
I'm stocking. Yeah. If it's a cold day, that stocking is not feeling very good. Might be pretty angry if you personify it.
Mm-hmm. And then your final fate in the game is that you misplayed your secret phrase idol and you went home the next week.
Oh, blew away like a stocking on a window.
I know. Ugh, a prickly stocking on a window. All right. So, Mike, are you happy about your outcome in the game?
I mean, usually in this, I like get medevaced or like someone chops off my arm or something. So, yeah, I guess this is the best outcome I probably have had so far comparatively.
Yeah, I think your other options were to be rocked out, become a Rob G. Oddis, or win the Sia Fan Favorite Awards.
So. Oh, no, this is the second worst option. Yeah. Oh, I feel much worse.
Good. I'm glad I could add to that. All right, Allie, are you ready to play see what happens if you played this season of Survivor?
I cannot wait.
Okay, fabulous. So give me four contestants from this season of Survivor.
Okay. Can I have some overlap?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're going Shan.
Okay.
We're going Evie.
Mm-hmm.
We're going Ricard.
Mm-hmm.
And Sydney.
Okay. Now give me four numbers.
We're going to go 3,
mm-hmm.
13, and 6.
I need one more number.
Oh, yes. Counting. 4.
Ironic.
Ah, perfect. I love this. All right. Give me 4 songs.
Okay. We're going to do Help. We're going to mm-hmm. do Baby, I'm Amazed. We're going to do Octopus's Garden.
Ah, Octopus Land Garden.
Yes! Okay.
And When I Think About You, I Touch Myself.
Okay. Yes.
We went real anal lace whale on that last one.
Longest song title, myself. All right. And 4 foods that are not your favorite foods. So 4 foods you dislike or just like, meh, not happy about them.
Okay. We're going to go with eggplant.
Okay.
We're going to go with spicy eel.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go with meat in general. Meat stew.
Yes, not meat stew.
Xander is shook.
Okay. All right,
and big juicy bugs.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. Yeah. All right. And again, in the Mad Libs style, I need a verb.
What type of verb will best suit my fate? Why is this throwing me up so much? I just am so scared because what if things go badly?
What's a like generally positive verb?
Yeah, exactly.
Like regardless.
Really nasir that verb.
I'm going to go with like read.
Okay. I need a noun.
Book.
Oh, obviously. Adjective.
Spicy.
Ooh, and ooh. One more noun.
Knife.
I feel like really took a different turn on that last one. But I'm okay with it. All right, so again, I'm going to do the spiral. 3, 2, 1, go. What did I do? I don't remember last time, but on go, I'm going to go, and then you just tell me when to stop. All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
Stop.
Ooh, all right. Okay, again, gonna do my super duper magic.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out.
All right, let's bring up another topic for discussion here now. Allie, you are someone who has applied for the show that would like to be on. Do you have a strategy for endurance challenges? Because, you know, we saw one in this episode, of course, famously done by Christian a few seasons ago, lasted for 6 hours. Is there like a mind over matter strategy that you would try to implement? You are one that is known for endurance as a podcaster, as a musician. Does that apply to this type of challenge?
Yeah. You know, listening to those who have succeeded in the endurance challenges, it does seem like the kind of place that you focus your thoughts is crucial. Like Parvati has talked about like meditation as being extremely important to her game. And that is definitely something that I would try very diligently to begin to get good at, because that is something that I definitely struggle with. It's hard. There are 2 schools of thought in the way that I've been kind of thinking about it. I was raised to think like, okay, if you have hiccups, you're going to will them away. You're going to tell your brain, I don't actually have hiccups. Nope, huh. I don't have hiccups. And then you just keep telling yourself so much that you don't have hiccups that, believe it or not, they disappear. But there is another school of thought that I've recently been practicing, which is you really, really, really embrace that you have hiccups. You give your hiccups a color. You give them, like, let's say it's a stomachache, because hiccups actually do have a sound. Let's say I have a stomachache. You're going to say, okay, well, what shape is my stomachache? What color is my stomachache? You're going to start describing it so deeply that in this focus, this weird reshift of your mind, you're able to alleviate yourself of a stomach ache. And these are both tricks, of course. They're not magic tricks. They aren't something that it's poof, alakazam, and you're solved, but they are a way to readjust your thoughts, which are quite powerful things that we have that could really change how far we're going to get in either absolving ourselves of hiccups or a stomach ache or maybe even winning Survivor. So I would have to give a little bit more thought into which one kind of suits my my kind of way. But those are both options that I've thought a lot about.
I'm like obsessed with this. As someone who gets the hiccups and will not stop hiccuping, I'm like, this is exactly what I need.
What is the mood of your hiccups? What is it like?
I need to give them a feeling. I need to describe them. Like, obviously, I'm not doing this right. Oh, this is so fascinating. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to implement this.
Yeah, let me know how it goes. My hiccups.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Well, would you like to know how it goes for you, Allie, on this season of Survivor?
Absolutely.
So, let me tell you, the person you are most closely aligned with, but get into a debate with them about how you're going to cast your extra vote, that is Sydney. So, good luck with that. But speaking of extra votes, the number of extra votes you will get this season is 13.
That's so good. God, that's excellent.
That is a lot of extra votes.
That's going to be like a 27-vote tribal council or something. Yeah.
But like, no wonder I'm fighting with Sydney about it. It's like, there's so many different ways to go.
Yeah, it has so many resources.
Which one do you want me to use?
All right. Well, you also have an evil theme song, just like Shan. In the same way that she hums her theme song, you hum yours. And your theme song is to the tune of Baby, I'm Amazed.
Nothing is more evil than Paul McCartney's love of his ex.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think exactly. do you hum it backwards and there's like a secret message in there.
Satanic, yeah. Probably.
There we go.
I sing it forwards when I'm doing good things and I sing it backwards when I'm doing evil things.
You know
things.
What it is actually? I believe you hum it backwards is a nice recipe for non-meat stew.
A kickin' lentil soup.
Well, that'll help with the copyright issues also if you do it backwards. All right. And then speaking of foods you don't like. So unfortunately, you get to play for spicy eel that you win as a reward. But with your idol that you activate via your special phrase, your phrase was, I truly read that books are just spicy knives saying hi.
Oh God,
that'd be a little hard.
I think we're turning off Gen Z into reading if you're saying like, well, reading is just like opening up a bunch of spicy knives.
Yeah, right. And look, I have to tell you, spicy knives aside, you were the winner of the season.
Hey, so that's excellent.
I don't think we've ever had that come up on Shamble before. So look, I
think
impressed.
It's a sign.
How many of those extra votes do you think you used over the course of the season from your 13?
I tragically lost them all when I was fishing.
Oh, no.
You said no spicy eel. I'm catching my own food.
By the way, just in case anyone's like, spicy eel, why did she pick that? It's because I've been playing Stardew Valley, and that is one of the foods that my character eats to run faster in the mines. So just to put that rumor to rest.
Oh my God, not that we have a whole new concept. Okay, then we will talk about Stardew Valley after this because I like have to. Okay, continue. Survivor, yes.
Well, I mean, Survivor is a little bit like Stardew Valley in that perspective.
Who did
right?
you marry?
Harvey, obviously.
Okay, all right.
The one who looks just like me.
Okay, I'm obsessed.
Amazing. Well, Allie, before we get into anything Stardew Valley, you know, on or off the air, are there any other, you know, like you said, the floodgates are open. Is there anything Survivor 41 or otherwise that you want to talk about before we start wrapping things up?
Yeah, I just want to say that I love that Come On In is more inclusive, even though it might have been a better move for Jeff to make that decision off air. I think it's still awesome that that decision has been made. And I've seen a lot of people give a lot of shit to some of the players by based on nothing other than their own prejudices. And I just want to give a shout out to the entire cast for being really cool and awesome, and a big fuck you to anyone who's like bigoted and racist and giving these awesome players a bunch of shit, because it makes no sense. Shan is awesome. Liana is awesome. All these, Ricard is awesome. Like, anyone who's like essentially like bullying them, I think that's very sad. And and yeah, I think that they, whoever like has these weird views, does not deserve to watch Survivor, and it should be like removed from their cable subscription, and like there should be a way to remove this beautiful gift that is Survivor from their lives.
Oh, I like this, doing like you know, basic discrimination training before you're allowed to get CBS back on your cable package.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I co-sign everything. And also, you know, I think, unfortunately, Liana in particular has received a lot of chastising this past week for like the stuff with Xander, which, look, it is an edited show. And look, you can also have quibbles with her gameplay, but also acknowledge the fact that this is a fan base that is very much during a lot of seasons. Like, they're too friendly. We need rivalries. Where are the villains? Where's the drama? And then the second something happens, they're like, oh, God, Liana, what a terrible person.
It's because that's what they like, though. Like, I think that the people who are like causing all this, like, I can't believe there's so much drama. I think that complaining about it is part of the fun for them in watching the show. And they're treating them like characters instead of human beings. And like, it's not scripted, y'all. Like, it's real humans. Like, it blows my mind. But
I mean,
you know, they're not on the show, and you know, they're just, they don't get to be a part of this cool thing, and they're jealous. That's all it is.
I mean, that, and it's edited too. So it's exactly, like, you can take every confessional that she said about him, you know, and like splice them all together, even though it might not be the, you know, the dominating theme of what she's talking about. So I think that's also something to keep in mind, that like, it is edited. Is it meant to show Xander in a particular light, right? Like, it's just more about him and who he is as a threat. And so it's just using Liana as a plot device to like move him forward. You know, I think there's a lot to consider when you move forward and interpret how the show is portrayed.
She might not have even been talking about Xander when she's saying like, I hate his face. Like, for all we know, like, she's like talking about Trump. Like, we don't know.
That could have been a good point. Like, do you like this? Do you like this pocket watch I have? No, I hate his stupid face.
Smash that.
The stupid face of your pocket watch.
What an awful household item this is.
Exactly. So yeah, this is a really great cast, and they're playing messy, and they're playing really interestingly. As well, I think Sophie said this when she was on Rob. I've only gotten a little bit into the podcast at the time of recording, but she brought up a really good point that it seems like this season, a lot more than others, people are sort of playing based on their personalities even more so than their strategies, right? Like, Shan is playing a certain way because that's who Shan is. Ricard plays a certain way because that's who Ricard is. And I really appreciate that. That means we're not getting like game bots, like we do during a lot of modern Survivor seasons. So I really appreciate each and every person in this cast for what they bring.
Me too.
And you should too, Royal You. So that being said, I guess speaking of, you know, appreciation, Allie, we at the end of every B&B want to give the spotlight, see the floor to our guests to highlight a charity or a cause that reaches outside of the island, outside of the Survivor sphere, into something noble that we need to give attention to. And so, you know, ball is in your court in that regard. What charity or cause do you want to highlight this week?
So I really want to draw attention to Wear Orange. You can find it at wearorange.org. If you're unfamiliar, this is an organization that is trying to end gun violence. And this has always been a problem in America, but oh my God, we are recording this on the day of Kyle Rittenhouse being a free man. So please, please donate your time and energy into learning about this cause at wearorange.org.
Absolutely. So wearorange.org, again, if you'd like to check out, you know, any ways you can volunteer, donate, etc. But Allie, this was such a great time to have you on. So happy to be able to, you know, have you on and you know, talk all about Survivor, about random stuff, about your hatred of spicy eel in Stardew Valley. It was all fantastic. So if people want to catch up on what you're doing on the internet, on social media or beyond, how can people catch up with you?
You could find me at Allie Gertz on all of the things on Twitter and Instagram. I have an album that is unfortunately titled Cosby Sweater, and an album under my own name, Allie Gertz. And yeah, Twitter is the number one go-to, I would say. So find me on there.
Would you ever consider writing a Survivor-themed album?
Absolutely. That's actually one of the reasons that I think I talked about that on the podcast with Scott, actually. That is one of the reasons that I thought I would do this entire watch of the show. And I already have like a couple little ideas in mind, but I don't know if, how many people are familiar with my music, but it tends to be very, very niche. Like I have a song about Rob Bottin, who's my favorite practical effects artist. And it is a love song to him. Like I have songs about Steve Martin's The Jerk and Freaks and Geeks. And, you know, it's very pop culture centric, but they're all very earnest. And my most popular song is called Everything's Coming Up Milhouse. It is a ballad. It is very sad. It hopefully sounds kind of in the style of like Amy Mann or Fiona Apple singing about like these cartoons. It's very bizarre, but hey, it's what I love. And so keep in mind, like the songs that I would want to write would probably be looking for some of the sadness in Survivor. And I think that could be a lot of fun. So I definitely will keep that in mind, and I might already be doing some stuff, but who knows?
Oh, I mean, listen, we had the Winners at War song, right? In season,
yeah, coming,
a little
you?
Bit in season 41, like yes! You brought in as an in-house artist, right? To come in and write some songs for Jeff for Survivor to invoke the monster.
Oh, that would be beautiful. I mean, Jeff is such a great songwriter though. So couldn't possibly top the We're Coming for You song.
Yeah. Tough to beat that. You know, the lyricism there is just like off the charts.
Yeah, the Billboard charts, perhaps. Very much off the Billboard charts. Liana, how can people follow you on social media, and what do you have going on in the podcast sphere?
Sure, you can follow me on social media at Liana RHAP on Twitter. I am podcasting about The Masked Singer with Puya. You know, he and I talked about the latest episode. There's this whole button twist that, you know, twists apparently like cannot escape my life. So whether it's Survivor or The Masked Singer, I'm all about the twists. And so, you know, we break all of that down. So check that out on The Masked Singer feed or on the reality TV app of speed.
Yeah, so correct me if I'm wrong, the big button twist is that if you think you know exactly who that is, you get to press a button and like they have to unmask right there, right then.
Yes. So if you know exactly who this is, yeah, you smash the button and then they unmask, which Jenny, I don't even want to say bless her because like vaccines and all that, but like she guessed Jake freaking Gyllenhaal, and I was like, I'm sorry, you think Jake Gyllenhaal being the Masked Singer? He's like still making movies and stuff, so like calm down, Jenny. Anyway, it was a whole mess.
Yeah, and bring her scarf back, please. Do you think they should implement that type of twist for Survivor? Should there be like a button you press of like, I'm ready to vote Jeff?
Yeah, exactly. And then no more live tribal, like you just smash the button and like Heather has to stop talking.
That'd
like,
be
sorry, Heather. Smash.
What do you think, Allie? we'll if there was like a vote now button that you have to press and like a red light flares and tribal instantly starts and everyone has to sit down and vote.
I think it's great because it does. It puts the player in a position of possibly getting some hatred for pressing the button. There's a possibility that the person who presses the button will then be voted out promptly. Or it's a possibility that it could save that person's life. Like, we don't know. I think it's a brilliant idea. Maybe it's not an actual button, but whatever it is, I love it.
Yeah, like a bell or a gong, maybe. Like, I don't know what's more Survivor appropriate, but some type of, you know, noise-making thing.
Yeah, some sort of, like, island instrument.
Yeah, a kazoo.
Oh, no.
A didgeridoo. A harmonica. A didgeridoo. Yes, a didgeridoo.
Exactly. Well, you can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. Of course, as I mentioned before, had two really fun exit interviews on Parade.com with Nasir and Evie. They give some great reflections about their time in the pre-merge. Nasir, for example, filled in a lot of stuff that happened on Luvu that we didn't see. Evie brought up why they were actually not only totally fine with changing from Xander to Voce, but actually like actively encouraging it before Tiffany changed everything. So a lot of really great info there. I also would encourage you to check out their Ponderosa video because it is a lot of fun. I will not spoil too much for you, but some really, really great conversations going on in that video. And then, of course, over on the post-show recaps side of things. Allie mentioned Lost before. I am fully delved into Lost Down the Hatch, my rewatch podcast with Josh Wegler. We are rounding the bend. The last 10 episodes, we recently did Happily Ever After, the final Desmond Hume episode with myself and Josh Wegler. Very, very fun time. Cannot believe it's nearly coming to an end. Or is it? You shall see. So check that out. Also covering the X-Files with my wife, Angela, though we took the week off. What is not off this week is a CBS-esque production. I would call it a satellite show that features satellites because it is part of Paramount Plus. Star Trek Discovery came back for season 4 this past week. Myself and Jessica Lease will usually habitually cover it every few weeks or so, but we wanted to come back for the premiere. Jess was unavailable, so I was joined by the great Brendan Fitzpatrick to break down the premiere of Star Trek Discovery. If that tickles your fancy, be sure to check that out on post-show recaps. So that's going to wrap it up for the B&B for this week. Next week, we help ourselves to a big old portion of turkey, beef stew, chicken stew, non-meat stew, spicy eel, what have you. We're going to eat next week, hopefully on Survivor as well. And we are going to be joined by, we had one co-host of the Challenge for Hap Up on a couple weeks ago. Feels like we should complete the picture. Brian Cohen is joining us next week for a Thanksgiving version of the B&B. Should be very, very exciting. If you have any ideas for games, be sure to send them in. Special thanks to Jonathan Troyer. I got to really give him the credit. Really doing a lot of the legwork with the anagrams this time around.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, feel free to email them in, rhapbnb@gmail.com, the letter B, the letter N, the letter B, or tweet us using hashtag rhapbnb. Any and all game ideas will be looked at, that I promise you. So that's going to do it for this week on the B&B. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes. Wolf from America for his fantastic theme song. Liana and I will be back next week talking with Brian Cohen about episode 10 of Survivor 41. Until then, we'll check you out at your next day.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the